Okay. That's enough being friendly. Knock it off. Don't be friendly. This is church. You're supposed to be mean and cranky and judgmental and critical, right? Amen. No, you're not supposed to be that way. Church should be the greatest place on earth, shouldn't it? Yes. I think victory is. Funny, people say to me, I love coming here. I look back at them and say, I do too. That's why I hang out here all week. Tonight, I want to take some time to just focus on Jesus. I know that sounds strange, but every single week we take time to do several things, but number one is to lift him as high as we can. In everything we do, in every service, our goal is to lift Jesus as high as we possibly can. We want to do things that exalt him, that honor him, that please him, and that present him to others in a way that they can know him. And that's very important that we all live our lives that way. So from start to finish, everything we do, every time we come together and every day of the week, 24/7, 365, we live our lives that way. However, tonight, I want to take some time to really zero in on the person of Jesus Christ and what he means to you. You know, many times when we get saved, we think he's our Savior, and he is, absolutely, and he does a phenomenal work in our life. Some of us radically saved, others of us maybe not so radically saved, but no less saved. We all have a testimony. We all have a story. And it's important that we stay current in our walk with God and in who Jesus is to us today. And I want to ask the question tonight, who is Jesus Christ to you today? I know he's your Savior, and I know that's something that's happened at some point in the past. And we all need him to save us every day from different things. But who is he to you today? Excellent. He's my friend. He's my comforter. Counselor. What? I heard another one over here. Confidant. Somebody I can confide in. I don't know how to spell that. I'm going to put confidante. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? What else? Who is he to you? Person you can talk to every day. So let me ask, how many of you talk to him every day? An example. No doubt he is our example. Paul, what'd you say? Rely on, he's always there. You can count on him. So I heard somebody else say one. He's our, two of them at the same time. Let everything be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. He's our healer. How many of you know him as your healer? Yeah, I know you do, Wade. Not just spiritual healing, but physical healing. Amen. What else? Strength. He's my strength. He absolutely is. What else? My brother. Is that you, Joe? I like that. You know, he is our big brother. We have a father. Jesus is our big brother. We're an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus. We share the inheritance with Christ. That's good. Somebody else. He's our righteousness. What else? He is peace. Thank you. He absolutely is. He calms our storms. What else? I like both of those. He's our teacher, and he's true love. In a world where it's hard to find what true love is, he is absolutely true love. He's our teacher. Amen. Would y'all give God praise tonight for everything he is to you? So what I want to do tonight, I want to take some time to meditate on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bring some focus and some clarity into a season that's literally filled with distractions. You know, we say Jesus is the reason for the season while our life is so full of so many other things that we really don't take time to focus on him. And for the next few moments we have together, I really just want to zero in on him. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that tonight, as we take time to meditate on Jesus, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us exactly what we need to hear in the now moment of our lives, and that we would reach out to Jesus in a greater way than ever before, that we would know your presence, your power, and your peace in a more tangible way tonight than we ever have. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come as the revealer and show us Jesus. We thank you for that, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. I want to say to you tonight that the number 7 is very important in Scripture. We see it over and over and over. 7 is a number that represents perfection. It's a number that represents completion. There's 7 days in a week. There's 7 colors in the spectrum. There's 7 major notes in music. There are 7 levels on the periodic table of elements. In the book of Revelation, there are 7 churches with 7 promises, 7 stars, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and 7 spirits. There are 7 parables in the book of Matthew. Joshua marched around Jericho 7 times on the 7th day, and God gave him a perfect victory. Naaman and his leprosy went and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, providing complete healing. Creation was finished in 7 days. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a furnace that was 7 times hotter than normal. But God's perfect protection kept them, and it'll keep you today. Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again, revealing to us that God's grace is greater than our sin, and he has the power to bring perfect restoration into our lives. Someone needs to hear that tonight, that no matter what you've lost, we serve a God of restoration who's able to not only give back to you what you lost, but to give you back more than you lost, even if it was your fault. The high priest sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat 7 times to produce complete and perfect redemption through the shedding of blood. Jesus said 7 things on the cross of Calvary. It was the perfect ending to a perfect life. In the book of John, which I'd like you to go to in your Bibles tonight if you have one with you, there are 7 different instances where Jesus makes a statement that sounds very similar, revealing 7 different things that he is to each and every one of us. 7 statements that Jesus begins by saying, I am this, I am that. Somebody say, I am. If Jesus is I am, then that means he is. The Bible is not just a book written to us, but it's also a book written for us to help us every single day of our lives. There's more than information here. There is an application that when we embrace it and we understand it and we begin to use the knowledge we receive, we begin to experience radical life transformation in areas of our life, one step at a time, one piece at a time, one day at a time. Can I tell you tonight, you're not responsible for all the Bible at one time, but you are responsible for what you know today. And it is important that we not be educated beyond our obedience. Okay? And so tonight I want to share some of those things with you. It's extremely important to understand before we get into them that I am is a common name for God within the Bible. We see it in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, where God revealed himself to Moses. Moses was going to Pharaoh. God appears to Moses in a burning bush. Moses says to God as he speaks to him, he said, who am I going to tell Pharaoh is sending me? And he says, I am who I am. In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. I like that. God doesn't have to apologize or explain to anybody. He said, I'm God, and that's all there is to it. That's all you need to know. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So the Jewish people knew God as I am, or Yahweh, spelled in Hebrew YWVH. So when Jesus came saying, I am such and such, the Hebrew listeners, the Jewish listeners who were standing there, heard him saying, I am God. Heard him saying, I am associating myself and connecting myself to the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am that God. I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. I am the one who delivered you by my mighty hand. I'm the one whose blood you passed through. I'm the one who opened the waters of the Red Sea so that you could part through on dry land. I'm the one that provided you a land of milk and honey and of plenty and of abundance where you could grow and develop and thrive into the people that God created you to be. He understood that they understood that when he said, I am, that he was the one who would have healing in his wings, that he was the Son of Righteousness. They understood what was being said. It made their ears perk up when Jesus said, I am. Somebody say, he is. Now, Jesus was using those same words that they had been taught their entire life to describe himself. And sometimes you hear Marcia, when she's encouraging us during praise and worship, talk about him being I am, that Jesus is the great I am, that he is everything you need. As a matter of fact, the name I am is so powerful that in John chapter 18, verse 5, when they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the detachment of troops, Judas went in the front, and they said, we're looking for Jesus. And he says, I am. And in the King James, it says he in italics, which means they added it to help you understand. But in the original, all he said was, I am. And when he said it, there was a release of the power of God. The Bible says it knocked the entire detachment of troops to the ground. That's how powerful the name of God is. When God himself spoke his name, it was like a blast of wind that knocked them over. There is power in the name of God. Can you say amen? And so I want to go to John chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 35 to begin with. For our first one, Jesus is speaking here, and it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I like that because I spent a lot of my life looking and thirsting and hungering for something to fill the hole in my soul and bring satisfaction, and I could never find it. I tried consuming a lot of things, but it never filled the hole in my soul. The things I used to medicate that hole were only making it bigger. The things I was using to cover up my own rejection in my life were only causing me to hate myself even more. Anybody ever been there before and know what I'm talking about tonight? Okay, so he says to them, and this is a great relief, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, how many of you have come to him tonight? Okay, so not only when you come to Jesus to be saved, but when you come to him day after day after day and you call on his name, he says to us tonight, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. What does that mean? Well, he's not talking, Grace, about physical food, because obviously we would need to eat again and again and again. I've had some pretty decent food this week. I had some great Chinese today. I had General Tso's made with white meat. I had white rice with it. I had some egg drop soup. Man, I'm telling you, that's some good stuff right there. I love to eat, right? But I need to eat again. No matter how good my food is, it doesn't fill me up. It doesn't satisfy me. Before long, I'm looking for something else about the next 11 minutes. But here's the deal. He says, I am the bread from heaven. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about there is a craving and there is a searching for satisfaction in the heart of every human being on earth that was intentionally placed there by God. Something that cannot be satisfied by anything else but him. We're all looking for something. A U2 song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Well, I thank God 17 years ago I did. And it satisfied that desire in my life. And now we get to chase him. It satisfies the hunger in our life. There's a hunger in all of our hearts that only he can fill. It's a hunger to be loved, a hunger to be accepted, a hunger to be wanted, a hunger to belong. He says again in verse 48, if you look down, I'm the bread of life. He says in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Now, bread sustains us. You can live 40 days without bread, but you can't go too much longer than that. Only about 3 without water. Okay? So when we eat bread, it sustains us. Jesus is saying to us, I will sustain you for not only time, but for eternity. He says, when you feed on me, when you receive me, when you consume me, when you allow me to come into your life, he says, I will sustain you for eternity. He says, I will not only satisfy you, but I will sustain you. Somebody say sustain. That's important. He's the bread of life. We must constantly be feeding on Christ, not just one time. It's not just taking a bite of his bread, the bread of heaven, and I'm done. It's I'm constantly feeding on him. I told you, I know he saved you, but who is Jesus Christ to you today? And that's a wonderful list that is incredible, and that's who he is to every single one of us. And I thank God that at different times and different seasons of our life, we need different things. And Jesus is like the ultimate multi-purpose tool. He is the ultimate Swiss Army knife. He can be all things that we need at any given moment. Because how many of you know children are needy? And I am God's child, and he has the ability to meet my need in that moment, whatever that need might be. He sustains us. He not only sustains us, but he satisfies us, and he nourishes us. Somebody say nourishes us. Now, I know there's a lot that has happened to our diet as Americans over the last probably 35, 40 years. And although there's much on the shelf at the store, the nutritional value has gone through the floor. Right? I mean, you just go get you a tomato. It looks red. You cut that thing open and it's white and it's hard. You compare that to one that comes out of a garden or that's homegrown. They're not even the same thing. That ought to be false advertising. That's not a tomato. That's a tennis ball you painted red. Eat that. But seriously, it's important for us to understand he's our nourishment. And bread is a staple in our diet. It is the foundation of our diet. And what is God saying to us? He's saying, I'm here to sustain you. I'm here to support your life. I'm here to nourish you. And I need you to keep feeding on me. Just like if bread sits on the table and you never go and eat it, then it does you no good. That's why you couldn't pay me to miss church. I don't come to church because I'm the preacher. I come to church because I got to be here. I need church to get through my week. I need church to get over the stuff I got to get over. I need a meeting with God in the fellowship of other believers where two or three are gathered together in his name, that he shows up in the midst. I need an encounter with God. I got to meet with him face to face. And so Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and he came and dwelt among us. So if I pick up a bag of bread, and I read the label, and I read the ingredients, and I enjoy how nice the packaging is, does it put anything in my stomach? See, a lot of times we take time to listen to other preachers, or we might read other books about the Bible, but let me tell you, nothing can replace reading this book. You've got to read the book, not just read the label on the bag. You got to eat the bread. And this is the number one way we can feed on the Lord Jesus Christ and know him every single day of our lives. Can you say amen? Let's turn over a couple pages and go to chapter 8, verse 12. The first one was, I am the bread of life. The second one is, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I love that. We live in a dark world. And I'm not a fatalist, and I hate negativity. I spent my life growing up in an environment that was extremely negative, very critical. I can't stand that. I can't hang out around that. I can't be around that. You want to see me ugly fast? Get me in that kind of environment. I can't handle it. I don't like it. I'm the opposite. I'm a solution guy. I'm not a problem guy. Bring me the problem once. Don't talk to me about it again. Let's fix it, Rick. Right? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, that's important because the world had fallen into darkness. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, the lights got shut out. In the process of time, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He enters the world and he says, I am the light of the world. Now, there's several important implications for us in that. Your body cannot function without light for an extended period of time. I need light to survive. Light provides things for me that I cannot get any other way. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me. Now, how many believers are in the room tonight? Praise God. Let me ask a separate question. How many followers are in the room tonight? See, a lot of times we assume they're the same. A believer should be a follower. But not all believers are followers. That's sad. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. You getting that? Let me show you why. Okay, I want you to pretend that it's dark in here. We're pretending, y'all, that it's dark in here. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. I'm going to show you why it's impossible for you to walk in darkness if you're following Jesus. Okay? Remember, it's pitch black in this room right now. I'm Jesus. Chris is you. Okay? Follow me, Chris. You following me? Come on. I got the light. It's not a whole lot of a light, but I got the light. Okay? Long as you're with me, you got light?
Got light.
You got light?
We're good.
You got light? Okay, you got light? Okay, stop following me. Go your own way. Keep going. Go your own way. It's pitch black. Does he have light? Is he walking in the light? Come here. But as he comes back closer and closer to me, what happens? The light's brighter. The light radiates from him. Okay, now follow me. Has he got light? I take a step, he takes a step. Has he got light? I take a step, he got a step. Is there light? Okay. Can he be in darkness if he's following me? Because I'm the light. Amen. Can you give God praise tonight? Okay, buddy, you can turn all the lights on. He says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When Jesus showed up, it was like the light beaming over the horizon at the break of dawn. He is the light of life. I want you to think about it. There was a celebration of light. The angels showed up with light to the shepherds in the field. Saul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, the Bible says there was a great light. The Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. James said he is the father of lights. You look down at chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now, if you're walking in darkness, you are not following Jesus Christ. If you're struggling with darkness in your life, start following Jesus. What does it mean to follow him? It very simply means that you obey the things you read in his word. Focus on reading the words of Christ. The way we make disciples is by teaching them what Jesus taught us. Jesus was very specific in saying, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them all things that I've commanded you, Matt. He said, I want you to teach them what I've said to you. So we've got to focus on what he wrote and read, and it helps us to walk in the light. Very important. Darkness represents sin, evil, all the activity of Satan on earth. Now, here's what I love about light. Every time light comes, Herb, darkness goes. Every time light comes, darkness goes. So Jesus is the light of the world, and he's living on the inside of you. And Jesus said to his followers, Melvin, you are the light of the world. So he says, I'm the light of the world, and then he tells them, you're the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. So when you go into darkness, what does it do? It drives it out. That's good news, because maybe you're in a home, maybe you're in a marriage, maybe you're in a work environment, maybe you're in a family when you can feel darkness all around you. Maybe you're in a situation where you feel it pressing in on you from every side. You need to remember and have a revelation tonight that when light comes, darkness goes. That means greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when you show up, the situation begins to change. That's awesome. I am the light of the world. Number three tonight, he says, I am the gate of the sheep. I am the gate of the sheep, or I'm the door of the sheep. Somebody say door. I'm going to read John chapter 10. Let's go there. John chapter 10, verse 7. In the New King James, he says, "Most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." In the New Living, he says, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." Verse 9 says, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved." He says, "I'm the gate." Now, here's what you've got to understand. Obviously, herding sheep was important in that part of the country in this time of history. Still is an important part today. And they would keep at nighttime their sheep in stone enclosures like a stone pen. And they didn't have a gate on them. They didn't have a door on them. The shepherd would literally lay his body in that opening to protect his sheep from anything coming in or from the sheep getting out. And he would be there. And so anything that came in or went out had to pass through there. And Jesus says, saying, "I am the gate, and if you wanted to come into my fold, then you've got to come through me." Amen? That's why it's important for you to understand what happened at Calvary. The only way, the only way, the only way into right relationship with God is through the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, because he laid down his life for us. And through the tearing of the veil, the Bible says in Hebrews, that was his body. When his body was torn, it opened the access of heaven for you and I to come into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can come into right relationship with God not because of what we've done, but because of what the great shepherd did for us. That's great news. Ease up on yourself. I promise you, if you'll stop beating yourself up, you'll start doing better. Amen? Condemnation is not from God. Conviction, however, is. And what he reveals, he heals. He wants to bring transformation into your life, but let me tell you, he's not going to destroy you in the process. So shepherds would lay there in that opening and prevent predators from attacking. Jesus is describing to us the kind of care and constant devotion he provides for his followers. I love that because God is looking after your life. God is watching after you. Jesus laid down his life in the opening. Let me tell you, there are some openings in your life where the enemy could come in and attack. But God himself has filled that void. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run to it are safe. He is a shield. He is a buckler. In other words, he is a fighter. He is a defender of you and I. There is a devil loose. He is your adversary. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking and desiring to feed on weak sheep. But Jesus Christ is there when we look to him and we call on him. And the Bible says this poor man cried out to the Lord and he heard him and he delivered him from all his troubles. Hallelujah. Jesus is there in your hour of need. If you need him today, call on his name. If you don't need him today, still call on his name. There's coming a day when you're going to need him to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in front of you and protect you. Last night on my way home, I got in my car, began praying in tongues, turned on my Bible app, began listening to my Bible. I don't do that every day. I'm not trying to look spiritual. Sometimes I turn on Wiggle and crank it. But last night I felt something tugging on me. I got in a bad habit of not wearing my seatbelt between here and home. I only live 7.5 miles away, but the 15-mile radius around your house is the most dangerous. And I got in a bad habit, and I thought to myself, felt that tug again, put your seatbelt on. Hundreds of times driving down Route 14, in the 16 years I've lived here, 14 years I've lived here, I feel that tug. Lord, protect us from deer. And sure enough, seconds later, there's one standing right there on the side of the road that should have been my bumpers. But last night I was meeting another car head on, three deer come out right in front of us. Well, I waylaid him with my truck, but I made it home alive. Who knows what I avoided? Who knows what I averted? Amen? So you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and follow the promptings of the Good Shepherd in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you need the Holy Spirit to tell you to put your seatbelt on. That was just my stupidity. So here's my public service announcement for all of you. Wear your seatbelts. You don't need Jesus to show up. That's just common sense. I am the gate of the sheep. Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other name, nor is there no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." It's the name of Jesus. The fourth one tonight is, he says, "I am the good. I am the good shepherd. Somebody say good shepherd. So he's not only the gate. He's that shepherd that lays down his life there. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And he's talking about something different here than when he said, I'm the gate. John chapter 10, verse 11, if you want to look at it. I'm the good shepherd. He said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's comparing himself to what we call hirelings. Somebody say hirelings. A hireling is a person who does what they do for money. They don't care. You might work with people like this. They could care less about what kind of job gets done. They're just there to punch the time clock, collect their check, and leave. They don't care about the customer. They don't care about the job. They don't care about anything else. And you can see that when you meet one of those people wherever you are. He said, I'm not a hireling. And a hireling is a shepherd is a dangerous thing, because what happens is a hireling, if danger comes, will run away. A shepherd, however, will give his life for the safety of that fold because he's fallen in love with the sheep, regardless of whether he gets paid for it or not. Now, that's integrity. That's character. He does what's right, regardless of who knows it, regardless of whether or not he's rewarded for it. He does what's right because the sheep matter. What flock has God entrusted you with? We've got to do what's right because what we're entrusted with matters. It matters to him. Jesus didn't come for what he could get. Think about that. He came for what he could give. Jesus didn't need to come. We needed him to come, right? He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so he's saying that he is committed to caring for and keeping watch over his people, no matter what it cost. And that's exactly what he did. He gave us everything. He's here to complete what he started. That's good news. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He will finish what he began in you. He started a good work in you. You are his workmanship. You are his prize. You are his creation. His name is stamped on you. His name is writing on this. Don't get so frustrated with who you are today that you lose sight of the big picture, that God is still at work in you, amen? And you may not have arrived yet, but thank God you done left, right? Shepherd is a dominant picture of who Jesus is in the New Testament. Why is he the good shepherd? Because of his willingness to lay down his life for his sheep. Number five tonight, John chapter 11, verse 25 and 6. Lazarus has died. He's been dead for 4 days. Said, Jesus, you should have come. If only you would have been here earlier, something could have been done. Matter of fact, Lazarus' sister said, Lord, by now he stinketh. The boy's rotten. 4 days later, Jesus raises him from the dead. We serve a God who's never too late. He's always on time. But he says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he says, do you believe this? How many of you believe that tonight? I use that passage just about every single funeral I do. One of the greatest promises we have as believers is the resurrection. There is no more fear of death, y'all. I mean none. None. Zero. Death can do nothing to me. Death has no hold on me, and it's not until I'm ready to die that I really can start living. When I'm prepared to die, then I can begin to live. When I'm prepared to die, I can begin to live. When you get that right, a whole new world opens up for what you can accomplish for God. There is no fear in death anymore. Amen? Number six, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 6. I love this one. John chapter 14, verse 6. This is another one that I use at just about every single funeral. It begins as Jesus tells them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's verse 1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's getting ready for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, I'm the road, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The disciples were confused about Jesus' statements about heaven. They didn't understand. And here's the good news for you tonight, today, and every single day of your life. If He is the way, that means you don't need to get lost. If He is the truth, that means you don't have to be deceived by the lie. If He is the life, that means you don't have to live in fear of death. That's good news. So every single day, I need to follow the way, listen to the truth, and live the life. Every single day, you've got to follow the way, listen to the truth, and live the life. Day after day after day. I want to emphasize again that being born again happens in a moment. Old things pass away and all things are made brand new. I become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The instant I pray that prayer, I'm placed in right standing with God. I am sanctified. He looks at me just as if I never sinned. He erases my past and He hands me the keys to the kingdom. But there's a lot that happens after that that we are responsible for, and we must walk with Him every single day. Every day you get up, you got to make a decision that I'm going to live my choice to follow after Jesus Christ. There's more to following Christ than praying a prayer. Every single day of my life, I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to obey Him to the best of my ability. The things that He has spoken to me and revealed to me in His Word, as I've spent time hearing His Word in church and hearing His Word as I'm reading my Bible daily. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one and only way to the Father. We live in a pluralistic society that, for the sake of political correctness, doesn't want to offend anybody, so we've become all-inclusive. Let me tell you, you stop inspiring people when you don't offend anyone. Someone will always be offended whenever you preach this book. And we do our best to limit the offenses. We don't want to be offensive. We don't focus on being offensive. But the Bible says that the cross is an offense. It's offensive. Amen? And the reality is, there's only one way to heaven, and you got to know that way. Let me try that again. There's one way to heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ. Because there was only one man to ever live a sinless life. And His name is Jesus Christ. When we couldn't get to God, He came to us. A sinless God stepped in the place of sinful man and there died at the cross of Calvary, suspended between heaven and earth. He bridged the gap for us. He made a way where there was no way. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when you call on the name of Jesus, you are saved and He makes you right with the Father, because only He knows the Father. Only He can carry you to the Father. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it is the man, Jesus Christ. And for that reason, He is the bridge we choose to run across. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. All roads don't lead to heaven. All roads didn't get you to Victory Church tonight. You didn't just jump in the car and take off. Hey, this looks good. Hey, that one looks good. Hey, Buster, right here. There is a way to get to your destination. It is ridiculous to think all roads lead to the same place. And if you don't do that with a destination every day of your life, why in the world would you trust your eternal destination to that type of reasoning? There is a way, there is a plan, there is a path. The seventh and last one tonight, He said, I am the true vine. John 15:5, if you want to go there. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Say, without him, I can do nothing. Let's say it again. Say, without him, I can do nothing. Now, we're really good at telling ourselves we can do nothing. So here's the kicker. I want you to say this like you mean it. I'm not without him. Say, I'm not without him. That means with him, all things are possible. I'm the vine and you're the branches. He said, you've got to abide in me. And when we do, there's a flow that comes into our life. Just like as a vine is connected to a branch and the branch is connected to a vine, it sucks up through its root system that life-giving resources that it distributes into the branches. I'm a branch. Lynn, you're a branch. All of us are branches on that God's beautiful vine. Jesus is that vine that we're connected to. And we draw our strength from him. We draw everything we need from him. We draw mercy every morning from him. We draw grace that is life fuel every single day from him. We draw forgiveness from him. We draw joy from him. We draw strength from him. We draw power from him. He is unto us wisdom. We get God's plan through Jesus Christ. We draw up everything we need. And when we receive that, we can't help but bear fruit. It comes from an abiding relationship of living in Christ and him living on the inside of us. We remain in him and he remains in us. He is the sole source and supply of all spiritual life and vitality to each and every one of us. And my point for you today is very simply that if you have an area in your life where you're weak and you're struggling and you're facing a deficiency, then tap into the vine. Don't forget your connection. Go back to that power connection in your life and begin to suck up on the inside of you everything he wants to provide. Begin to draw from him. Somebody say draw. Somebody say draw. In other words, place a demand on what he is. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Draw near to God and God shall draw near to you. Every step I take toward him, he takes another step toward me. Can I tell you, church, there is a way to press back in to everything you need in your life. No matter where you're struggling, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through tonight, be encouraged. He's a vine and you're the branches and he's not willing to let go of you. He's going to bear fruit through you. And when the fruit pops out, an apple tree produces apples and people look and see what kind of tree it is. Well, if Jesus is the tree and he's the trunk and you're the branch, you're going to produce Christ's fruit and they're going to look at you and they're going to see him. They're going to look at you and say, that's Jesus on the inside of them. They're going to hear what you've got to say. And they're going to hear Jesus. They're going to see what you do, and they're going to see Jesus. When you touch their life, they're going to feel Jesus Christ. Come on, you've got to stay attached and connected and start drawing and tapping into and placing a demand on what it is you need from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. I want you to turn your eyes on Jesus tonight. I want you to be encouraged as faith has come by hearing and hearing by the Word to understand that Jesus Christ is everything you need, Jackie. He is the great I am. Whatever you need tonight, Marcia says it every week, he is for you. Hallelujah. If you believe it, get on your feet and give him praise. Come on, give him glory tonight. Let's give him the ovation. Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you reached down. No, you didn't just reach, you came. You didn't send somebody else, you came. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you came for each and every person here tonight. I love you so much. Fresh and new, God, I surrender my life to you tonight. Why don't you do that right where you are? Why don't you just lift your hands as a sign of surrender? Say, Jesus, I give you my life fresh and new tonight. Just right where you are. Say it in your own words. I give you my life fresh and new tonight. I recommit my life to you. I'm in love with you. I love living for you. I love living with you. I love doing life your way. We love you, God. Holy Spirit, just breathe upon hearts right now. Breathe upon hearts right now. Breath of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you for your example. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. For that one here tonight that has been struggling with discouragement and feeling like giving up, felt like they can't go on anymore. That one who's been wrestling with the voices of condemnation. Right now, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I bind that, I rebuke it, I break it off of their life, and I release in the fullness of their power the promises resident on the inside of them tonight. Spirit of God, I pray for a release of your resurrection power that would raise them up out of the ashes, out of that situation, out of the hopelessness. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that tonight would be the mark of a brand new season for them. I declare a change of season for that person I'm talking to tonight. I declare a season of increase, of favor, of overwhelming victory. God, I thank you. I declare breakthrough tonight that propels them through every attack of Satan that has been coming against them. I thank you that the opposition is broken tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you that they recognize the lies. I thank you that they walk in the light in Jesus' name. I thank you that the clouds are rolling back, and I thank you that heaven is shining down on them tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory that it's already done. We declare your lordship over their lives, and Father, we give you praise that right now in Jesus' name, if you're the person I'm talking to, I would go on and just receive that as finished right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I release it into your life. Father, we just give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory and we love you. Send us to somebody in need. Send them to us. Father, show us somebody we can invite to this service this week. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, and everybody said, I love you. God bless you. Have a great week.